Welcome to the AWS podcast, hosted by Simon Alicia and Simone Brunazze. This is your regular update of new services, interviews, deep dives, and technical tips. If you'd like to share your feedback, please use the Twitter or email links available at aws.amazon.com/podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the AWS Weekly Podcast, episode number 46. I'm Simon Alicia, Principal Solution Architect here in Melbourne, Australia, and with me, remotely connected, my colleague Simone Brunazze. Simone, buongiorno.
Buongiorno, Simon. Oh, your Italian pronunciation gets better and better every day. Or good morning. So this is Simone Brunazze, Senior Technology Evangelist for Amazon Web Services based in San Francisco, California. I can't wait to start episode 46. But before that, let me tell you about what I did in the past 2 weeks. I've actually been to Kilimanjaro. I've climbed Kilimanjaro almost to the top. I didn't make it to the top. I had altitude sickness, and then I had to go back just a few meters from the top. But it was an amazing experience, and I survived. I'm happily back here in San Francisco. It was an amazing experience, and I was doing this while you people were listening to the previous podcasts. So, of course, as you can guess, we record those podcasts every couple of weeks in order to, get on with our other businesses and other things that we have to do. So I'm back, and I'm happily here, and I can't wait to start this episode 46. What do we have on the plate, Simon?
Well, we're going to focus on one item only this week. So, just the one thing. So, as you know, Java is very popular amongst AWS developers, and a great place to learn Java and AWS is at the java.awsblog.com blog site. And today we're going to pick one of the latest articles, which was a guest post by David Janacek on how to do rate-limited scans in Amazon DynamoDB. So, first of all, in DynamoDB, which is our NoSQL database that's based on SSDs, you can read by using either scan or query. And we'll cover these first, and then we'll go back to the article.
Nice. And of course, a few people get confused on this particular aspect of DynamoDB, especially the ones that are not used to using DynamoDB or other NoSQL engines. So let's clearly explain what they are. So we start with the query operation. A query operation searches only primary key attribute values and supports a subset of comparison operators on key attributes values to refine the search process. A query returns all of the item data for the matching primary keys, so all of each item's attributes, up to 1 megabyte of data per query operation. And a query operation always returns results, but can return, of course, empty results.
And if your table has one or more local secondary indexes, and you remember we released those just recently, you can query those indexes in the same way that you query a table. Now, query results are always sorted by the range key. If you have if the data type of the range key is a number, then the results are returned in numeric order. Otherwise, the results are returned in order of ASCII character code values. By default, the sort order is ascending. To reverse the order, you use the scan index forward parameter to set that to false to reverse the ordering.
Nice. And then the query supports a specific set of comparison operators. Of course, for information about each comparison operator available, you can go to the API entry for query in the Amazon DynamoDB API reference. But actually, we wanted to focus on the scan operation today. So first of all, Simon, what is a scan operation on DynamoDB?
Yeah, scan is kind of easier because with a scan operation, we examine every item in the table. Now, you can specify filters to apply to the results to refine the values returned to you after the scan has finished. And Amazon DynamoDB puts a 1 megabyte limit on the scan. The limit applies before the results are filtered. And a filter can result in no table data meeting the filter criteria as well.
So scan supports a specific set of comparison operators, equal, not equal, less or equal, larger than, greater, sorry, lower than,
less than,
greater or equal, greater than, not null, null, contains, not contains, begins with, in, which means exact match, or between, which means greater than or equal to the first value, and less than or equal to the second value. So there are many comparison operators that are supported. But of course, now this part was our explanation, our introduction of what the query and scan are. But let's get back to the article now, what their article says, Simon.
Definitely. So we're going to talk about how to do rate-limited scans in DynamoDB. Now, obviously, a scan is quite an expensive operation, can be quite intensive because you're scanning the contents of the table. So when you scan your table in Amazon DynamoDB, you should follow the DynamoDB best practices for avoiding sudden bursts of read activity. You may also want to limit a background scan job to use a limited amount of your table's provisioned throughput. Remember, you can set how much throughput you allow per table. So you don't want it to interfere with your more important operations, which may be online activities. Fortunately, the Google Guava libraries for Java include a rate limiter class, which makes it easy to limit the amount of provisioned throughput that you use.
So let's say, for example, that we have an application that scans a DynamoDB table once a day in order to produce reports or take a backup or compute aggregates or do something else that involves scanning the whole table. So for this, of course, we will use the scan operation, not the query operation. And it's worth pointing out that Amazon DynamoDB is also integrated with the Amazon Elastic MapReduce and with Amazon Redshift. So those aggregations, those backups would be easily done, of course, using those services as well. So those integrations, for example, let you export your tables to other locations like Amazon S3 or to perform complex analytics and queries that DynamoDB does not natively support.
Exactly. But it's also common to do this sort of scan activity in the application instead of using EMR or Redshift. So let's go into the best practices for doing this scan without interfering with the rest of the application's performance.
Yeah, so Simon, let's assume that we have a table that is 50 gigabytes in size and is provisioned with 10,000 read capacity units per second. Remember that you can always change the read and write capacity of a table on the fly. But let's assume that for now, this is the amount of provision capacity that we have for this table. And of course, let's assume also that we will perform this scan operation at night when normal traffic to our table consumes only, let's say, half of that capacity, 5,000 read capacity units per second.
Nice. So this is a good example to use. And this gives us plenty of extra provision throughput for scanning our table. But we still don't want it to interfere with our normal workload. So if you allow your scan to consume 2,000 read capacity units, it will take about an hour to complete the scan.
So 50 gigabytes requires roughly 6.5 million read capacity units to scan, which is, you know, 50 gigabytes times 1,024 times 1,024 divided by 2, because scan performs eventually consistent reads, which are half the cost. And then divided by 4, because each 4 kilobyte of data consumes 1 read capacity unit. So essentially, if we want to use only those 2,000 read capacity units per second, that allows us to do 7.2 million reads per hour, which means since we just need to do 6.5 million, we should be done in about 55 minutes.
Exactly. And to make the most of your table's provision throughput, you'll want to use the parallel scan API operation so that your scan is distributed across your table's partitions. But be careful that your scan doesn't consume your table's provision throughput and cause the critical parts of your application to be throttled. So to avoid throttling, you'll need to rate limit your client application. So again, something like Guava's rate limiting class makes this really easy. And the article, which has the link in the show notes, shows the exact code. We won't read the code, but we'll summarize it for you and walk you through what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. So we will just tell you, in essence, what the code does, and then you can look at the code in the show notes. It's relatively easy. So the first step is we initialize a rate limiter object with a target rate of 25 capacity units per second. And then we initialize a pagination token to null. And we use this token for looping through each page of the scan results.
Then what we do is we acquire some read capacity units from the rate limiter. The first time through, we consume 1 because we don't know how much throughput each page of the scan will consume. And this pauses the application until we have recharged enough throughput. Then we perform the scan, passing in the exclusive start key and also a limit. If unbounded, the scan will consume 128 read capacity units, which would cause an uneven workload on the table. We also pass in total to return consumed capacity, so that DynamoDB will return the amount of throughput consumed by the request. So we get a nice feedback loop happening there.
Exactly. Then fifth step, we record the amount of consumed throughput, so that next time around the loop, we will ask for more or fewer permits from the rate limiter. And then last step, we process the results of that page of the scan. So the preceding algorithm essentially shows a good basic approach to scanning a table gently in the background without interfering with production traffic. However, of course, as many things, it could be improved upon. So here are a few other best practices that you could build into such a background scan job.
For sure. So the first thing is parallel scan. So to distribute the workload uniformly across all the partitions of the table, pass the segment and total segments parameter into the scan operation. You can then use multiple threads, processes, or even machines to scale out the scan work on the client side.
Another thing that you can do to optimize is to estimate page sizes. There is another piece of code. So the code above, the code that you will see in the show notes, uses a limit of 100 on every page of the scan, but a more sophisticated approach could involve computing a limit based on the throughput consumed by each page of the scan. So ideally, each page would consume a fairly small number of read capacity units so that you avoid sudden bursts of read activity.
Definitely. Now, another best practice is to round to 4 kilobyte boundaries. So every 4K of data scanned consumes half a read capacity unit. This is because it's half and not one read capacity, because scan uses eventually consistent reads, which are essentially cheaper to do. Therefore, if you specify a limit that results in scanning a size that isn't divisible by the 4K, you waste a little bit of throughput. Ideally, the algorithm estimates how many items fit into a 4K chunk and adjusts the limit accordingly.
And of course, you know, in that case, especially if you have small files, this technique could be particularly useful to essentially reduce the amount of read capacity. Another, let's say, fourth way to improve it would be to record progress. So if the server process were to crash, or if errors occurred beyond the automatic retries in the SDK, we would like to resume where we left off next time around. So imagine a two-hour scan job getting to be 99% done and then crashing just before you finished it. So you could build a stateful cursor in a DynamoDB table by just saving the last evaluated key in an item after every page. Of course, be careful though, because this will only save how far the scan got. Your application will have to be able to deal with the possibility of processing a page multiple times.
That's some good tips there. Now, the scan operation in DynamoDB is useful and necessary for performing various occasional background operations. However, applications that perform scans should do so by following the DynamoDB best practices. And hopefully Google Guava's rate limiter makes doing that a bit easier. Also, you might want to check out some earlier blog posts that the team provided on using Google Guava's Map Builder API for writing shorter code when working with maps in the AWS SDK for Java.
Nice. So I think it's time to end this episode. This was a very intense session on one particular topic. Let us know if episodes like these are useful. Let us know if they are clear enough. We don't have any idea if describing code like this is actually useful on podcasts, or it is just a little bit too much, like it's beyond what human comprehension can do. So if you like them, we might want to do more of this. If you don't like them, we will stop doing them. So let us know.
Yeah, let us know. And the way you do that is via email, awspodcast@amazon.com, or on Twitter at @AWSPodcast. We'd also encourage you to tell your colleagues and friends who are interested in AWS that the podcast is out there and that they can subscribe to it either from our webpage or in iTunes, because many people who are more recent listeners have said, wow, I didn't know this even existed. You've kept it a very well-kept secret. It's not intentional. We have no marketing budget, so you are our marketers. So please do share it with others who might be interested, because in general, people get some good value out of it.
And remember, if you want, you can even rate it on iTunes. So feel free to do that, for good or bad, whatever you think about it.
Absolutely.
So great to be back, and I think looking forward to speak with you again, Simon, and just to speak with our listeners very soon.
Absolutely. See you later, everyone.
Yeah, goodbye. Arrivederci.
Thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. We love getting your feedback, so please contact us on Twitter at AWS Podcast or via email awspodcast@amazon.com. Theme music provided under Creative Commons by Miles Rogers, audiofarm.org/audiophiles/22275.